So, guess what, everybody? We got to see Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness early.
Woo!
Yeah!
And woo! You didn't.
We're big, big hotshots in the comic podcasting world, obviously. So, like, Kevin Feige reached out and said, hey, we want you guys to watch this early. They flew us out to three separate locations, though, for some reason. I feel like for some reason they didn't want us in the same room together. I can't imagine why. Because
we would just be talking the whole time and we wouldn't watch the movie.
And you got a good point there, yeah. And kissing.
And kissing. And kissing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I get into the theater, I just want to kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're under a strict embargo to not talk about anything we've seen, obviously, because they're keeping a lot of secrets. They wanted this to be a surprise to everybody. But we're not doing that. Let's tell everybody about everything that happened to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Come at us, Disney. Please don't come at us.
We got nothing to lose and nothing to live for. So bring it on, motherfucker.
Let's start the shit.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
I'm pretty excited to get into these massive Doctor Strange spoilers, but I feel like we got to make them wait for it. Much like they made us wait for Benedict Cumberbatch's full frontal nude scene in the film Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. A little teaser spoiler for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I don't recall that.
You might have blocked it out. It was definitely in the movie. Well, anyway, I'm Bri. If we want to introduce ourselves. And
I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
Make sure that we are liable for what we've done.
I'm Merc. We're all Merc.
Yes, we're all Merc.
I said Merc.
Yeah.
We haven't actually done news in a bit. We've been doing frantic episodes the past few times. Or just little mini episodes. And we haven't really had a lot of time to do news.
It's catch-up season.
So, yeah, let's catch up on some news.
Let's do news.
Let's catch up news. Let's all pour right. some ketchup on the news.
Mmm, delicious.
I relish it.
Current Zero News Flash.
So who wants to... Wait. Kyle. Kyle, you lead us in this. You're the leader of the news.
I will not. I will lead from afar, much like Professor X.
That's, yeah.
Bald man sitting in a chair, sending others into battle while I stay home and drink a delicious coffee.
I mean, we could all do that, really.
No, I called that one, and you're...
All right.
Okay, Bri, guess what? You're Cyclops now. Go out there and present the news.
I'll do it. Okay. All right, I'll do it. So, recently announced, Frank Miller is starting his own publishing venture, his own, I guess, publishing company, called Frank Miller Presents. So, basically, they're going to be... he's going to be publishing or aiming to publish like 2 to 4 titles a year to start. And two of those are going to be a sequel to Ronin, which is like kind of nuts because that came out almost 40 years ago. And he's going to have more prequel comics for Sin City. And he's basically aiming to sort of, you know, foster new talent and in his sort of like that work in kind of a Frank Miller-y tone or area. So he's going to try to have like other artists and stuff like that working with him on this. They've announced a few other titles called Pandora and one called Ancient Enemies. We don't really know too much about that yet. And so Solène Thomas, who is, I think, the CEO of Frank Miller Inc. as it currently exists, is going to be the chief operating officer. And guess who's back, baby? Dan DiDio is back. He is
Dan!
Yeah, he's going to be the publisher of this.
Dan DiDio of the Dan Dididome?
Yeah, and he released... it's got a logo, which has, like, the stark black and white thing that, obviously, Sin City is known for of what mm-hmm. I can only call a sad fedora in the rain. So that's coming.
I haven't seen this picture, but I'm sure that's a spot-on description.
I've pictured it perfectly.
Apparently, some financing is coming from NFT investments, which is
oh good,
great. And it's like those what do you call it? It was like those guys that bought, I think, one of the copies of the Dune book. You know what I'm talking about? There was like this whole story where they, the unmade Dune movie by,
Oh, Jodorowsky?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they bought like the kind of the Bible, one of those books of like the storyboards and everything for this unmade movie. And, you know, this NFT group or whatever, and I think they were, like, literally thought that they could make a Dune movie because they had this book. It's like, no. You bought a book.
You bought a comic book.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
We'll see if that financial acumen is going to pay off for Frank Miller Presents. But, I mean, you know, again, like, him, he's got his own stuff, and he's got a specific style, and you know, it's kind of interesting to see what kind of original stuff might come from it, and, you know, I'm at least curious about a Ronin sequel, just to see what it is, so who knows.
Yeah, could be good.
And not to be dire, but we did mention this earlier, I was under the impression Frank Miller was not well, health-wise.
Yeah. I mean, like, it seemed like that for a while.
Very surprised that he suddenly launched a new company. Like, not that it isn't great. Good for him. I hope he's well enough to do this. Like, maybe I'm completely off the rails on this.
I think he had been having some health concerns. I think he's doing okay.
Well, good.
I hope, because otherwise this seems like a terrible idea.
That's why I was very surprised when I saw that coming through the feed. Like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
I mean, they haven't said exactly how much direct involvement he's going to have, if he's going to be drawing this stuff or not, or if he's just finding like artists that can sort of like do his thing well enough that they
if they're fostering new talent, is he fostering new talent to take over? Like, you're going to draw Sin City and you're going to draw Ronin, and I'll just like plot it out and somebody else writes it or something like that.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, that's distinctly possible. And we got some other news coming out pretty quick. So the CW, they've announced, obviously they have their whole, like, you know, Arrowverse or whatever of DC shows. They have announced a few cancellations. Legends of Tomorrow and Batwoman are done. And these are, like, proper cancellations. Like, they've had shows end before, but usually they would have, like, a final season to sort of wrap things up. But these are just, like, no, you're done. Apparently, I haven't kept up with... I haven't even seen Batwoman, to be honest. I haven't kept up with Legends of Tomorrow in several years. But I guess they, like, introduced Donald Faison as Booster Gold. And I guess the last season was, like, a cliffhanger. So it's just not going to get resolved, I guess. So...
Oh, no.
Aww. Which is weird. Like, they haven't really done that before. And it's robbing me of Faison as Booster and Zach Braff as Ted Kord Blue Beetle. Which,
I never realized that that actually happened. I didn't know that.
No. Apparently. I haven't seen it yet, but that's what I what I had heard. And I guess the other series, I don't think there's been an announcement on whether they're renewed or not yet. There's like Naomi and Stargirl. Hard to say. Superman and Lois, I don't think they said anything about, but I mean, like, I'm sure that's going to keep going because it's people really like it, and I think it's doing quite well.
If any of them are safe, it's like it's that and Flash.
Yeah. And Flash got renewed for another season, but I think like several cast members are done after this season, and it might be. Rumors are saying it might just be like kind of a shorter last season just to wrap it up. And they did announce a new series called Justice U, which has like David Ramsey, who played like Diggle in Arrow, like training new superheroes or something. But I'm just like, will that happen? I don't know. Hard to say. They announced it, but it was sort of like, it seemed like everything's kind of wrapping up, to be honest, especially with the CW sale. And I think, like, Warner's kind of wanting to push HBO Max a bit more for, like, their everything. So maybe some things will migrate over there. Who knows? So, yeah, that happened.
To continue with the cancellation.
more cancellations.
It's not even a cancellation. It's been... Well, it is canceled. For a while now, there's been talk of Netflix was supposed to put out a Bone animated series.
Ooh.
So Jeff Smith, of course, the creator of Bone, it was announced basically that, well, Netflix is having some trouble and they're restructuring, especially their animated sides. And in the restructuring, the Bone has been axed from the docket.
My Bone!
And Jeff Smith did not hold back in his disappointment, and rightfully so.
He's been jerked around so hard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the creator of Bone, he did a little Peanuts style cartoon that was like, you know, he's going to, like, Charlie Brown would go to kick the ball and Lucy would pull the ball away and he'd fall on his back. And it's basically that sort of thing, but with bone characters. And they're like, hey, I'm Nickelodeon. We got a great, we could do this great thing for you, this great show. And then, oh, pull it away. Hey, we're Warner Brothers. We'll do this great thing for you. And then they pull it away. And then now Netflix does the same thing. Yeah. So he's rightfully very upset. He's like, it seems to be like, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Have this huge buildup and have the ball pulled away at the last second. Yeah. So
I feel that, like,
which is too bad because it would be such a great fucking animated thing. Like, just do that in Lord of the Rings style. And I think that was part of the thing. In interviews I was reading, especially I think Nickelodeon, he went into it and he's like, I don't want any music. There's no songs, no singing, because every animated thing suddenly gets songs.
It's a musical.
That seems to be the formula. It's like, this is not what this is.
Yeah.
And that was in the contract. And then at some point, he and his wife sat down with some executives, and they were like, so is there any way we could get, like, a Britney Spears sort of pop song in on this? And he just stared at them like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That's the issue is that everything has to be the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no... Yeah. Well, when you have, like, specific executives that don't really necessarily have a lot of risk-taking or creativity, they just like to repeat the same formula again and again. And it's like, well, like, that's not what's necessarily best for a project. And yeah, like, I don't blame them. Like, I feel like the Bone series is probably such a consistent seller. You know what I mean? Like, they have, like, the Scholastic fairs and everything. Like I'm sure it's, like... He's plenty of money is coming in just from the book being in constant publication that, you know, I wouldn't blame him. Just be like, nah, I'm not even going to bother. Who cares?
Well, I mean, he's been through it three times now. Like, I would say, fuck it. Like, I would be like, oh, you know what? Maybe Alan Moore's right. And it's a good thing that this isn't happening because the comic is still there and the comic's really good still.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. Exactly. It doesn't have to, not everything has to be adapted. Like, this is one that would work really well if it was handled properly, but. Does it need to be? Nothing really needs to be.
But it hasn't been any of the times, because if that's, it were handled properly, it probably wouldn't be canceled again and again and again.
Again and again. Anyway, moving on. So I don't know. This was announced probably a few weeks ago. We haven't done news in a while. So Sony has announced another Spider-Man movie. Well, not a Spider-Man movie. They've announced another
Spider-Man movie.
Another movie featuring a villain. A very well-known, famous villain, because, I mean, obviously after the creative, financial, and critical success of Morbius, everyone's favorite movie of 2022.
Morbius.
Lesbius.
Just triple that up and lower the pitch.
Lesbius.
Yeah. So they've announced El Muerto, who is a very... A very important character, obviously. El Muerto, who appeared in two comic book issues, I think in like 2006 or 2007. And that was Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 6 and number 7. Around the time, I think, of like Iron Spider and Civil War and all that stuff, created by Peter David and Roger Cruz. And Bad Bunny is cast. And I guess my fingers far from the pulse.
He's
like a musician.
We're old.
What? He's a musician. I think he's like a wrestler.
We're old and we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
He's a musician. I think fairly popular musician. Again, I'm not... My finger's far from the pulse here. I guess does wrestling, and the character is like a wrestler, kind of like a luchador character. So I can maybe see they're thinking of like, okay, well, this is kind of a blank slate character that we can like specifically suited to this particular, you know, person with a lot of buzz that we can sort of maybe build a brand around. But I don't feel like this sort of thing has ever worked for them. So good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It just seems like you're building off the Spider-Man mythos. Totally. Yeah. I get it. You can't use Spider-Man. I get it. It's a legal thing. So
you have a deal.
You got to use something else. You've got a deal. But we can dip into it. Let's pick a character that's only been in two issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? I would love to be a fly on the wall for that pitch of like somebody brought that in. So I was digging through obscure comics and I found this character only appeared twice. So there's lots of room for growth. Yeah. I don't know.
He's never done anything, and no other writer.
They could have done a Rocket Racer.
Yeah. Hypno Hustler.
Yeah.
So, also in other news, Ezra Miller's Hawaiian crime spree has continued. I think in March 22nd, there was a disorderly conduct situation at a karaoke bar, which there was like an argument and a physical altercation. And I guess they were staying with a couple that they met at a farmer's market in Hawaii or something. And
so there's hope for us is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So don't. Ezra Miller, I guess, burst into their room.
I hope for it that Ezra Miller is going to show up and punch us in the face. Yeah.
Yeah. Hope that yeah, exactly. Ezra Miller can threaten to murder us.
Yes. Yeah. So they, I guess, burst into their bedroom when they were staying with this couple and threatened to kill them. So there was a restraining order put in place. And actually, this couple had actually paid, I think, like $500 bail for Ezra Miller the night before. And most recently on April 19th, I guess there was some sort of a private function happening somewhere, and Ezra Miller was decided to crash it. And I guess they were trying to like get Ezra to leave, and they threw a chair at a woman, and I guess kind of cut like an inch, like cut her head open. So it was charged with second degree assault. So, all I can say about all of this is I've read Return of Barry Allen. I know that this is the Reverse Flash all along, just pretending to be Ezra Miller. So, I'm hoping that Wally can get to the bottom of this and maybe also take over a movie franchise because somebody might be a bit of a liability. Yeah.
When the cops showed up, he tried to run thinking he's the Flash, but he's actually not a good runner.
We've seen the Ezra Miller run. We've seen them run.
He's very jangly.
Yeah. We've seen that.
Hit the corner of the wall as he was trying to get out the door.
Relum Arzo. Relum Arzi.
Too late. All right. I got one last little bit of news. You might have been aware that there's Thor Love and Thunder has been like building up to it's going to be released. I'm not even sure the date. Summer, fall. I'm not even sure.
July-ish.
Is it? Yeah, I'm not even sure.
We've got a lot of like kind of cloudiness in the local area right now, which is actually just viral marketing.
Mm. And they keep playing Guns N' Roses on the radio, which is just shit radio, actually. Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's the trailer. No, it's not. It's not. Which it was super interesting. We haven't actually talked about the trailer or anything, but we don't need to talk about it. It's go watch it. It's quite interesting. It's Taika Waititi again, of course, directing and co-starring. Even there's also Natalie Portman coming back as Lady Thor, which she looks jacked, absolutely jacked.
The helmet looks great too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it looks awesome. Bang on. Really nice. I'm quite excited. And there's Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher, which from that Jason Aaron run, amazing. It's like one of the best stories I've read in years. And kind of going off that, you're going to see a shot in that trailer of Thor before Falagar the Behemoth. He's an ice god. He's like a kind of a big ice dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That picture is a direct take, not even just inspired by, but like the rock fort. He's basically kind of standing on a mountaintop precipice area, and this huge dragon's behind dead, and Thor is standing there looking at it. It's
the exact
rock
shot.
It's the exact shot from the comic by Jason Aaron and the artist Isad Rabik.
Right.
And that panel, like you lay them beside each other, and you're like, holy shit. That's exactly like it.
Yeah.
This is, of course, a continuing discussion about how compensation for artists and like how they're responsible for like creating. Like Jason Aaron created Gore the God Butcher, and like Isad, like obviously created a lot of the visuals for this.
Yeah.
And they're taking it directly from one to the other. Yeah. And basically, he's going to get like a thanks in the credits. And apparently the standard thing is they get $5,000 or they get to appear, like get an invitation to appear at the premiere, which...
Oh my goodness.
What? Or?
Yeah. Is kind of the wording I saw. And basically a lot of the artists and whoever involved, the creators are like, the $5,000 is shut up money.
Yeah.
Because that's what you get. Because it, and this is an ongoing thing. We've talked about this with like David Aja with Hawkeye, Brubaker, Kieran Gillen, Joe Casey. They just went through a big thing with hashtag Disney Must Pay, where I guess when Disney acquired like Lucasfilm, they argued that some of the, who is it, Alan Dean Foster, who wrote the basis for a lot of the novelizations for the Star Wars universe, when it carried over to Disney, they argued, the Disney lawyers argued that they acquired the assets and not the liabilities. So not part of the, like, well, here's part of the contract that we're going to pay you royalties because we're using your stuff. They're like, oh, we didn't pay for that. That wasn't part of the deal. It's like, fuck you.
How
you're
are you
using
not...
all the stuff they created.
God. You buy something, you buy, like, you're, come on. That is absolutely ludicrous. Yeah. Ludicrous. Yeah. How do you, like, it's like, I'm going to take all the things I want, but none of the things I don't want when you buy something. It's like, cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So this, and that it's been argued that, like, any corporation can do that. No, they can, like, sell to their own other corporation, and they're like corporate hideout states. Certain states allow you to do this, so then you can just oh, this corporation bought this corporation, a corporation, and oh, then we just dissolve that other corporation, and yeah, we've lost all our liabilities, and that's fine now. We don't owe you guys anything. So this is, of course, part of a way bigger discussion that we could talk an entire episode easily about, but Just wanted to throw that out. If you haven't seen the trailer, go see the trailer. It's super great. But then pay attention to that one little tidbit. Go look it up, and you can see side by side those two.
Yeah.
I knew they were similar because I was like, oh, that looks familiar. But then when I saw them side by side, I'm like, oh my God. It's literally the rock formations are the same.
Yeah. So you could put one over top of the other.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, there's one more piece of rather breaking news that we're going to tackle in the warm-up because we think it deserves its own place.
Yeah.
So let's go there.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Hey, we're there.
Wow. Through the magic of elevators. We took an elevator.
The magic of radio. So, yeah, of course, anybody in the comic sphere is aware of the very sudden and untimely passing of comics legend Neil Adams. He was 80 years old, and apparently, like, I haven't really heard much about cause of death or anything, but apparently other people were saying he was doing really well. There was no sign of anything, and then he just very suddenly passed.
Yeah. I guess he had been sick for a while, but I don't think he had or there was complications from something, and he just didn't probably. That's the thing about, like, it would come as a big surprise because he was 80, but, like, he just, man, like, that guy had energy, you know? He just seemed like he was
unstoppable. He also looked the exact same for the past, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was wearing the same shirt. He always wore that blue shirt all the time. Same shirt for 30 years. Brought out his eyes.
Yeah.
Just to really, Neil Adams being, there's very few artists or creators in the comic industry that you can say changed the landscape of comics. There's like a handful of them. Like, it's like the Kirby-esque kind of creators, but Neil Adams is definitely one of those who brought, in the late 60s, like an illustrative, more hyper-realism sort of style to comics, and suddenly everybody was like, oh, we can do that? Oh my God. And of course, the readers wanting that sort of thing rather than kind of, I don't want to say the goofy-looking, very simplistic sort of drawings, but it brought a more cinematic feel to comic books that had not really existed before. Like when I broke out some books that I immediately think of when I think of, I have this greatest Batman stories ever told, and there's just these crazy shots of like in my head of just like him. There's whatever, I don't even know what issue this is because it doesn't give me the cover, but like he's in the swamp and just like that long flowing cape, the very different style of the face, that it's like, that's immediately.
I mean, his Batman is the Batman that I always think of. When I think of Batman, absolutely. Which is often.
Yeah. At night.
Well, he only comes out at night. Wink.
Very true.
Anyway, yeah, no, for sure. Like, that reviving, like, that impact on Batman, like, the new look or whatever that era was called with the Denny O'Neil, working with Denny O'Neil. And, of course, there was, know, the Green Lantern and Green Arrow, which was huge for both of those characters and really kind of... Yeah. Yep, that's another one right there. Absolutely. Yeah, and as well, like, Deadman did, like, a ton of Deadman stuff. Which was like a there it is, yeah, just showing all the books
just
you pulled
pulling
out.
Them out one by one.
It's an audio podcast, and he's like, "I'm pulling the books out."
Yeah, Asbury pulls them out. Just like mugs at the camera. He doesn't. He's not. You're not saying anything. Help
I'm
me.
Not saying anything. So yeah, I have this. I got this collection of Deadman. I'm a huge Deadman fan, and of course, the Neil Adams was like one of the main forces on that. And I got him. I met him, and I got him to sign this, and I was very happy.
That's cool.
Yeah. Another one that I always think of is the Superman versus Muhammad Ali. Just this classic thing that I had when I was a kid. Then it got lost, and I had to track it down, and I spent way too much money for it. But you know what? It's worth it because it's amazing.
Sometimes you gotta have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. You do. And of course, the X-Men is another one I always think of with him. Especially, and it's like one panel page that always sticks in my head. I don't know what issue it was from, but it's basically, I want to say it's Beast falling out of a building or something. And it's suddenly the panel structure changes and it's like diagonal and he's like falling and getting like towards the camera. Yeah. And it was like one of those first times I've ever seen like odd panel structure like that.
Where you could just like look at me like, oh, you can do that. Yeah, that's allowed totally.
Yeah. It's you don't need six panels equal size on a page and that's it.
Something I didn't even know actually was until more recently was his first work in the industry was actually for Archie when he was 18 in like 1959, and I guess he was like trying to get some work through Joe Simon, and so yeah, he ended up sort of doing some strips and single page stuff throughout a bunch of Archie. I think the first one was like Archie's Joke Book magazine. He did like one panel in an issue of like
those little like three panel joke things. I saw a post about that had them all listed.
But some of them like he had there was weird ones where it's like go here, go here, go here, go here kind of stuff going on. So he was playing with like panel stuff in really creative ways from day one. Like that was always it's just really cool. And again, something to mention as well, he was very pivotal in the creator rights movement, the creators rights movements in the 70s and beyond,
especially the Schuster the Siegel Schuster thing.
Like he was
probably the driving force in that, really pushing for them to get proper rights for Superman creation. Yeah,
and getting some money, you know, finally, not enough, mind you, but I mean actually getting proper credit, and that obviously that's something that's still in place, and it helped like normalize that kind of a thing that so many have benefited from since then. And also as well, he was fighting for the basically artists to get their original work back. Like their actual pages back that usually like the company would just keep it. And so like in the, throughout the 70s, he was, beyond, he was doing that, which is like a standard practice now. Well, I mean, now we got a lot of digital and stuff like that. So it's not exactly the same, but, I think it was 1987. He got his art back from Marvel, and Jack Kirby did as well, which was, so he did a lot for some of the big, I don't know if you would call it founders necessarily, but some of the titans who...
The cornerstones of...
Who everything else was built on. Obviously, incredible. That's a huge part of his legacy and should be remembered.
He was also into physics. Did you know that?
What?
No, go on.
Continue.
I honestly don't know too much about it, but he, I believe more in the later years, got into physics and was actually like posting, I don't want to say crazy theories, but he had this growing earth theory that... Other physicists were this is not real. This is so it was like very
and that was sort of that came up in his Batman book.
Odyssey, I think it was Odyssey. It was a weird one.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's he was a real one.
I'll always remember him as the guy that drew Batman's dick. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Batcock.
Yeah.
He was 100% himself every day of his life, and you don't always get that. So I respect that personally.
Apparently, as a personality, he was a pretty strong force.
For sure.
Like, obviously fighting for other people's rights, but he was very protective and very, very quick to stop anything that was kind of shady that involved his own business.
Right.
He was very much on top of that. That's very well known in the industry and at conventions and stuff. You do not fuck with Neil Adams. So, yeah. Sad to see, but.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
What the f***?
All right, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, we're here. At last, we're here to talk about everything that happened in this movie that we all saw individually.
I know, and we've all agreed not to discuss it until we all got together, which I'm so excited to finally discuss this. Sorry, everybody, there's going to be spoilers.
Huge spoilers.
We got to see it first.
And I just want to remind everyone, this is 100% true and 100% accurate.
Absolutely.
In case you think it's some sort of goof, it's not. It's 100% accurate.
That's the zero issues guarantee.
That's right.
Da-na-na-da-da.
This is a guarantee.
This is a guarantee.
That's what the lyrics are to that last little ditty at the end. We could talk about whatever we want to talk about individually, of course. You know, if we want to talk about the overall plot, I want to talk about just some of the cool stuff that was in there. I mean, like, who wants to start it off here?
I'd be happy to. I thought this movie was a lot funnier than a lot of these movies have been in the past. And I, you know, in the past, I wasn't entirely sold on Benedict Cumberbatch as like a funny guy. Like, a lot of his stuff is very, very straight and very serious. But like, he was pretty funny. Like, when he had that boat race with the Grumpy Dean, like, that was pretty funny. Right?
Grumpy Dean.
Yeah, it was Patrick Stewart. He was like the Dean guy. He was like Professor X.
Never heard of him.
I don't recall
that. Grumpy Dean, come on. But they had a boat race.
Professor X? That's weird. Well, I mean, like, well, I might have nodded off. I might have.
Okay.
I could be very distractible, you know.
Yeah. Maybe that's when I went to the bathroom. I do have a very small bladder, so I had to leave a couple of times.
We've discussed
this.
So
I was like,
Kevin Feige. I think we did talk about the movie, but you did say that Kevin Feige was just like force feeding you big honking Pepsis the whole time.
Yeah. He's like, do you want another big gulp? And I'm like, oh, God.
Come on.
My.
Okay.
It's
all
right. Fanta.
Well, I mean,
it's Fanta.
So to sort of get into it, the whole reason why this happens in the first place is, you know, Strange loses his license to practice medicine. He's got to go back to university, but it's weird, like multiversity, right? And, he meets those other characters, and they teach him to loosen up, and he teaches them how to do magic stuff. And, you know, they have parties and panty raids and look, big spoiler, there is that part where Doctor Strange has sex with a pie. Pretty funny stuff.
I mean, I don't recall that scene. Like, maybe those different cuts,
forget that? Doctor Strange has sex with a pie. Come on.
I never saw him have sex with a pie. Sex with a pie. Sex. Pie.
Yeah.
Sex.
Maybe I had to pee again? I don't know.
I imagine, again, I didn't see that in mine. I don't know if, I don't know why, but I assume the cape covered all the business, I'm assuming, to keep that PG rating?
No, when you were talking about the full frontal nudity, that's what I thought you were talking about. At the top of the show. Yeah, because he goes right through that pie. It's not a deep pie.
No, mine was the scene when he went out to get the paper after taking a shower, and his cape blew off, and the door locked behind him. That's the one I'm talking about. You remember that, don't you?
I don't recall either of these. I didn't see any full frontal nudity. There's a lot of backdoor nudity. I saw a lot of butts.
Oh,
I saw a lot of butts.
Well, that was both. It was Yeah.
Well, it was like two-thirds of the movie was butts, because it was like, I didn't know they were going to go Stephen Strange, mystic proctologist. It just seemed very strange.
He wasn't a doctor. That's what the plot of the movie was, is that he wasn't a doctor. What are you talking about?
Everything that I saw was that he became a mystic proctologist because during the Spider-Man thing, when he messed with people's memories, apparently he kind of messed with his own and kind of decided to kind of half forget that. I don't know. And then he just suddenly had a proctology clinic, and he was like proctologist to the gods and monsters and heroes and villains. Doesn't this sound familiar? Great all-seeing eye of Agamotto, peer inside the banner's colon and reveal its gamma bomb secrets. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Not really.
No, not even a little bit.
I mean, I was pretty drunk at the time. I summon the
seven rings of Ragador to open that there back door.
That sounds like Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
By the wand of Watoom, incontinence go boom.
Ooh.
That one, I've not heard before.
I have not heard before. And it's really a shame that Bruce Campbell didn't get to say these lines. Unless he did. Because I haven't seen it.
He was in it, but that wasn't.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Do you guys think Feige might have fucked with us?
I don't know.
Like, yeah. Brian, what happened when you saw it?
I liked when he was going into different universes in the multiverse, right? And there was kind of a whole sequence of events where he went into specifically like the video game universes for Marvel. You remember that, right? Well, he went into like the Spider-Man arcade game. You know what I'm talking about? That had like Black Hat and Hawkeye and Namor. And it was a live action
Cumberbatch,
but he was Doctor Strange, but he had to like move in like stiff ways. He could only do that. He was like talking like, "What am I doing here?" He had those like shrieking hellfire guards. So
just, he had to move stiff, just like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Then he got sucked into. You don't remember that? He got sucked into the Atari Spider-Man game, and it was like the No Way Home sequence with the trains, but the whole thing was Atari graphics. You don't remember that?
No. Oh.
Did you? Okay.
There was
three different movies.
How did they make three different movies, and which one is the real movie? That's the question.
Maybe that's the multiverse. It's everyone's going to see a different movie.
Well, it was weird. Like the whole final act of the movie was like a Lego Marvel game, which was a weird choice. But I mean, like those transparent blocks as like all the magic effects was actually pretty cool looking.
Lots of clicky sounds, right?
It was a weird choice. I can't believe you don't remember this. I can't believe your version didn't have that, because, I mean, like, it seemed like they put a lot of effort into it. I mean, they're working on these movies until the last second, so it's possible that they, you know, were just...
Yeah. Okay, question. Was Strange supreme in your guys' movies?
Yeah.
No.
Like, the evil? Okay, it was in the Brides. What about Strange Hawaiian and Strange Meat Lovers? Were they in your movie?
No. I had different Stranges, but not those.
I just had Strange Deluxe.
Strange Hawaiian? So cool.
Do you have like a Hawaiian shirt and...
Yeah, Strange Hawaiian.
Selick mustache.
I just had Strange Deluxe, that's all.
Pretty delicious.
Oh. There was different Stranges. Like in the trailer, you saw that one where he was like, got out of hand and had like the bigger, more of a bigger goatee. But there was like a bunch of different Stranges with different facial hair. Do you remember that sequence where they all met each other? Like there was, there was like, those Cowboy Strange with like the big mutton chops. And we had like, 90s Strange with like frosted tips hair and like a soul patch and like a chain necklace.
Was that just Mark McGrath?
Yeah, I think it was actually. Amish Strange. Where he, you know, he says technically magic isn't technology, so he's cool.
So don't be vain and don't be whiny, or else my brother, I might have to
summon forth the shielding powers of the Vishanti.
Impressive.
You don't remember that? The Frank Zappa Strange?
No.
No, what other ones were there?
John Waters Strange, which was just John Waters with his pencil mustache.
Well, it's just that was John pretty Waters,
cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. You don't get these?
No.
No.
That was a really cool scene.
Most of my movie, he was the proctologist. The Hulk develops a constipation problem. Thor makes him go to Strange about it. Then he enlists Ant-Man's help, and they shrink him down, and they probe the Hulk. They go inside the Hulk. You go into his gamma hole to discover that during, I guess, the first Avengers movie, when they're fighting the Chitauri, he takes a bite of one of the ships or something, and it got lodged in his small intestine.
Oh, no.
So Scott dislodges it, and then, like, the dam just bursts open. Like,
dear Lord.
Gamma bomb.
Could you imagine when if the Hulk ate something and then turned back into Bruce Banner and just...
Oof.
Ow!
Oof.
It cuts inside.
Okay, because mine was like a teen comedy sex romp where they were just having college hijinks. And, you know, there was all this weird sort of multiverse stuff at certain points. Like Scarlet Witch was also in it. At a certain point, for like, I would say two-thirds of the movie, she was played by Jennifer Coolidge.
Really?
She was a wilf.
Was that like, was that a multiverse thing, or did they just not explain it?
You know what? You decide, is what they said.
Yeah.
How about other guest stars, like other characters? How many did you? What other characters did you have?
I mean, Mark Ruffalo was there, but he was just hanging out.
Not getting anally
probed. He wasn't even acting as the Hulk. He was just like, yeah.
Just Mark Ruffalo?
He's just ruffling?
Yeah. He was ruffling everybody's hair. Or something. He was eating a big bag of Ruffles.
He's ruffling some feathers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick Stewart, he was a grumpy dean.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
Yeah. They had Daredevil in mine.
What?
Daredevil was in yours?
They had Daredevil, and he was echolocating problems instead, like, so they'd saves on x-rays. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Was it Charlie Cox again?
Moon Knight. Oh. Totally was Charlie Cox, and I was surprised to see Moon Knight because I thought Moon Knight was supposed to be this standalone kind of thing.
Wow.
But the Fist of Khonshu did a little too much fisting. So.
Ooh. I mean, it's going like back that. To the proctology thing. I don't remember that at all. I mean, like the Illuminati I'll get into because obviously they've name checked that in some trailers and stuff, and they've been teasing Patrick Stewart as Professor X, but not like a crusty dean in mine anyway. He was there. They had the other members of the Illuminati were all from different multiverses, though. I mean, like, I don't know who was in yours, but mine had Reb Brown, Steve Rogers as Captain America. Mm-hmm. Reb. It had David Hasselhoff's Nick Fury, of course. Ian or Owen Griffith, you know, like the Fantastic Four from like 20-ish years ago or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was there as Reed. That was cool. Eric Bana was there as Bruce Banner. Bana's back. The TV Anson Mount Black Bolt, believe it or not. I guess they decided to acknowledge that happened, which was cool. And Doctor Strange, from 1978, Peter Hooton, was already in the Illuminati as their Doctor Strange. So that was cool. Like, there was already a complete Illuminati amongst these guys. And, like, Doctor Strange shows up. Like, Cumberbatch Doctor Strange shows up. And he's like, hey, I guess I'm going to be your Doctor Strange. He's like, we already got him.
We got one.
It was just really awkward. Yeah. And for some reason, the live-action 80s Howard the Duck was just sort of hanging around. With Leah Thompson. Which was really cool. It was good to see her.
Yeah.
As herself. Was that your Illuminati?
No, actually, they hardly even touched on it.
Really?
You know, it panned over them really quickly during, like, that wedding scene.
Wedding scene?
Yeah, like, what? I mean, that was in the trailers. We know about this. A wedding happens at one point in this movie.
Right.
But just, you know, what's her name? Rachel McAdams goes up, and she's getting married, and, you know, you get to see, like, oh, who's she getting married to? And it's Sideshow Bob. So you know he's up to no good. And that's,
oh, no.
You know, that's the sequel. Obviously, they got to stop Sideshow Bob. Live action Sideshow Bob. Kelsey Grammer with dreads.
Was it Kelsey Grammer?
Of course it was Kelsey Grammer. Who else would you get to play
with
Sideshow Bob?
With a crazy wig? Oh, I can't believe I didn't get that.
No. The only Illuminati thing that I had was that they panned into the waiting room at some point, and it was all old Illuminati just waiting for their exams.
Mm. Oh. Huh.
He might have been a grumpy dean at that point because he did seem pretty grumpy, but like he was waiting
for
an exam. Well, yeah.
He had something in his butt.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it out.
Yeah. Boy, he's waiting for something in his butt. But
no.
But.
Oof. But, that's it's very interesting because I I feel like they really would have just been fine-tuning the movie. It's really strange how there was so much different between these three. I mean, I know that they had some reshoots, but this seems like they
there
had
were
been
some
pretty
unfinished
extensive.
Visual effects in the ones that I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it seemed pretty close to done at the time.
Yeah, I know.
That's my theory, is that it's the multiverse. It's like everyone's going to see a different movie, maybe. That's my only take. Like,
Maybe. That's ambitious.
Disney's just jacking up the multiverse.
You had to have, there was one scene that really stood out to me that it had to have been in all of them, where he literally went through a portal and like walked into a Steve Ditko Doctor Strange comic, where like every time the camera changed, it was like a different panel, and it was like real art from Steve Ditko. You had that, right?
I would have been ecstatic to see that, but I didn't.
Really? It was incredible. I mean, it got a little weird at the end when you know, he was trying to talk to this other Doctor Strange, but for some reason, big walls of text talking about Ayn Rand just sort of, like, suffocated him to death. Right, which is weird, because that wasn't really in those comics, but I feel like, you know, they wanted to honor Ditko, I think, in every way they could, so... But, I mean, it was visually stunning. I can't believe that they didn't have that in yours.
No.
Oh, well.
Mine had a food fight. So, like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool. I wish I saw that. Oh, did, like, I bet Wong started the food fight. He could be a fun dude. Did he? Please tell me he did.
Of course he did, right after he smashed that guy's guitar.
Yeah. Classic Wong. Oh, I hope Wong. I see that movie.
Wong. Anyway, go see Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's really good.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I really want to see it, but
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list.
It's really good.
Cool.
I did see Northman.
Ooh.
Okay.
And it's good. It's brutal. Mm-hmm. It is. Be prepared. It was basically Hamlet meets 1982 Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, I'm into that.
That sounds
like very much.
Cool.
There was a lot of Conan parallels. I was like, wow.
How much Willem Dafoe was in it?
Enough.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah. Enough is enough. Listen, mister, enough is enough.
That's all you need. Speaking of full frontal nudity.
Yes. Anyways. Oh, man. Yeah, beat someone to death with that thing.
Yep, he doesn't need a sword.
Yee.
Speaking of well... Wanda with Doom.
These are not curses. They're gifts.
Time to be hitting the old dusty trails.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
We hope that you enjoy Doctor Strange as much as we did.
Yeah,
well,
whatever version
you
see.
Let us know which version you saw.
I wonder if we got Feige'd. Kevin Feige likes to keep things close to the chest, and maybe he knew we couldn't resist blabbing. And that's why he invited us to throw some stuff out there. No,
I like how
all of our movies are real and canon.
You created a verb.
What hat was he wearing when you saw him?
Ooh, he was wearing... he was wearing the Ghost Rider,
just
the
pick
Hulu,
anything.
Hulu Ghost Rider, it said. Hulu Ghost Rider, that show that got made.
Okay.
I mean, in the multiverse, it must have gotten made. What about you? What hat was he wearing to yours?
He was wearing an ice cream sundae on top of his head.
Oh.
Huh.
It looks good.
He was just wearing a baseball cap of, like, Husky.
Husky. Like the gas station.
Yeah, like the trucker.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The gas station.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
Well, I think regular customers for their big, big breakfast get a free hat. So he must have...
They get a free Feige.
Oh, they get... Yes.
Hashtag free Feige.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Free him from his...
Oh, no.
Oh, a massively successful...
I'm running a multi-billion dollar industry.
Look at me.
Hashtag free Viking.
Yeah. Don't be mad at us.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Mm-hmm. Who are we?
Well, I'm Bry Kotick, and I'm here to say that... I'm going to go first. I'm Bry Kotick. You can find me at welcometohereafter.com, and my Instagram is BryKotyk. And that's what I'm here to say, and I said it, so I'm going to stop talking. Bye.
My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or thekylelees on Instagram or Facebook or any of that. I make stuff, And you can see that stuff at the places I said. End transmission.
Love those places.
Begin transmission. I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Merconaut Like Astronaut on Instagram. You can find all of us at the Thunder Bay Country Market, along with our buddy Ryan Mackett, RyMac_creations on Instagram. We are there at the Thunder Bay Country Market Saturdays from 8 until 1. That's 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. Yeah. Not 8 in the evening until 1 in the morning.
Come to the late night market. Be... We're open late
till
1 a.m. So you can get late night lettuce.
We sell booze and crack. Mm-hmm. You also on Wednesdays from 3:30 to 6:30. Thanks, as always, to Ocean City Defender, KP Merkley, for the fantastic music and interstitial little ditties and stuff that he did. Check him out at Ocean City Defender. Look that up. Not the game, but the music. Fantastic stuff.
He good. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, he great.
He great.
He the one. All right.
And
until next week.
That's about
bye.
It. What are we doing next week? We're doing. We're talking Moon Knight.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Moon Knight next week.
Next week, let's fist some Khonshu. Wait.
Ooh. I'm Vengeance. Oh, wait, that's the wrong movie. Wrong movie.
Yeah. Zero Issues!
Thank you, Doctor Strange. Wong, thank you for everything.
It has been a pleasure fighting by your side, Spider-Man.
You are a worthy ally in the battle against darkness. May the Vishanti watch over thee.
And may your amulet never tickle.